please take your seats? Supervisors, please take your seats. I'll call the meeting to order, and we'll start with the roll call. If you are here, please check in on the computer. There are 33 board members present. That is a quorum. Next, we have the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand for that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first we have the Chair's report and looking to see if there are any supervisor conference reports. Has anybody been to anything this month that we should hear about? Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our Southwest ZBEC met in Toma on September 5th. Our main speaker was Patrick Walsh. Pat Walsh is an environmentalist and an energy specialist with the UW-Madison Extension. He's an attorney, an engineer with extensive experience in environmental energy policy. He was formerly the Assistant Dean and Statewide Program Leader for Community, Natural Resources, and Economic Development Programs for the University of Wisconsin Cooperative Extension. He is also co-director of the UW Extension Solid and Waste Hazardous Waste Education Center and professor with the Department of Biological Systems Engineers. He spoke about the petroleum supply peaking in the supply versus major growth. He also spoke about global warming, vegetation changes, world population growth, and how the world economy runs on energy, creating the food versus fuel debate. In conclusion, Wisconsin manufacturing may be the biggest winner. There are significant opportunities for Wisconsin in biomass and forestry. That concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Sobranek. Mr. Bina.
I thank you, Mr. Chair. I also was at a Going Green Sustainable Communities and Farms for statewide RC&D at Oconomowoc. We were over there Thursday, September 11th, and Friday the 12th, and we were done about noon that day. We, too, talked about the same things that Jerry was talking about, conserve natural resources, climate change, fresh greens from the farm, stormwater management, energy conservation, natural steps 1, 2, and 3, and alternative vehicles. They also took a tour of a local power plant and an ethanol plant. We had a banquet Thursday night. They usually give an award to different people who do some good jobs during the course of the year, and this is a statewide organization. They gave one to a program assistant, the best coordinator for the year, and the outstanding council member. And fortunately or unfortunately, I received the outstanding council member, and I got a plaque that is kind of nice. They dredge this wood out of Lake Superior, and then they make plaques out of it. So it's going green all the way around. So that concludes my report.
Congratulations, Mr. Bina. Anybody else have any? Arlene Benrud.
Thank you. I have two reports. The first one is on the Northern Network's yearly conference was held in Duluth, September 10th, 11th, and 12th. Representing the Southwest ITBEC from La Crosse County were Jim Ursham, Jerry Sobranek, and myself. Keynote speakers were Alex Cillero, 3M Vice President of Community Affairs, and the 3M Foundation. Leslie Schweitzer, Senior Trade Advisor for the National Chamber Foundation of the United States Chamber of Commerce. She was excellent. And a Steve Duer, which was from the Teton National Park. There were several panel discussions held during the convention. Some of the notable panelists you may be familiar with, they include Greg Benson from Lowell Design, Andy Peterson, Duluth Chamber of Commerce, Bill King, Design Corporation, Judy Sander, Northwestern Ontario Innovation Center, Bob Hartley, College of St. Scholastica, Irene Kozleski, Seneca, Charles Burnick Corporation, Bob Banks, Icon Corporation, Dave KringsnoBreakdowns.com, Rusty Hoglund, Arrowhead Manufacturers Association and Mining. Also, Tony LaRusso, Minnesota Trade Office, General of Canada in Minneapolis. Also, it's Minnesota, Canada, and Wisconsin that do get together. The biographies on the speakers were quite extensive and impressive. The conference was very inspiring, and the major theme was on creative innovations in trade growth with potential foreign countries. Free trade is fair trade. That concludes this conference. On Monday, I was in Duluth with the Wisconsin County Highway Association, and we are $10 million short falling the salt this year for the state of Wisconsin. The good news, the Senate and House this week passed H.R. 6532, which transfers $8 billion from the general fund to the Highway Trust Fund, supported the legislature. This measure was adopted to make up for shortfalls in the Highway Trust Fund that have been predicted for a number of months and which increased dramatically with the downturn in revenue due to decreasing fuel purchases. The Senate passed its bill in a voice vote, and the House measure passed by 376-29. The Bush administration had originally threatened to veto the bill, but switched its position last week when the Federal Highway Administration determined that it was running out of money. Thank you.
Any other reports? Okay, that is almost it for my report. I just have one more thing, and that is earlier this week we had the first meeting of the community group talking about the women's facility, the alternative to jail, and we set another meeting date for Monday, September 29th, so everyone is invited to that. If you are free, it's Monday, September 29th at 6:30 down the hall in the auditorium. All right, that's it for me. Steve O'Malley.
Thank you. On your desk should be a request to commit to a contribution to United Way. We're encouraging that through all of the county employees, including supervisors. As you probably know, we couldn't do everything that we do as Health and Human Services and Community Services Agency without the support of United Way. So I'd really encourage you, even if it's a small amount, to dig deep and try to provide a contribution. There also is encouragement, if you didn't notice, that there are, if you give more than $50, you're entered for several different raffles, including Packer tickets, Badger tickets, Timberwolves tickets, and other prizes. I understand that Jerry Huber will take the Viking tickets if you really don't want any of those. So that I wouldn't, for one. But there are no Bear tickets, but if they're Timberwolves tickets, I might relieve those from you.
Maureen Friedland?
Oh, yeah. Let me just ask, is the county board looking for 100%, or does the county look for 100%, something like that? In our particular circumstance, we do this another way. We do it directly to the United Way, but if there's any reason to try to, you know, pool together, we would make a second contribution.
That would be great if we could get even over 50%. 50% of the board members individually to commit. Each year, our number of commitments have gone up countywide, so that would be a great challenge. I make a substantial contribution each year as well, and I think it's in the silver level or whatever the dollar amounts are. So if people would like to make a good contribution as well, I'd really encourage you.
So you're saying you would add to yours as a match for whatever we do?
I think mine close to matches right now.
No, I mean you would add above what you're doing to match over.
I'll have to think about that, but it is, I'm not going to say the dollar amount publicly.
The record will reflect that he was noncommittal.
Oh, I've committed a lot. So.
Keep going.
Okay. On meeting dates, you should have both the orange sheet on your desk as well as a green sheet in your packet. So if you haven't had a chance to review that, recognize that we moved the scheduled date to receive bids because we got so much interest and so many questions on the bids by potential bidders that the bid closing date will be October 2nd. There will be a regular LEC Construction Committee meeting to hear those bids and to give input on October 7th and give direction. And then a special LEC Construction Committee will be Wednesday, October 15th at 4 o'clock, hopefully to adopt a resolution and give direction to the full county board. But in deference to giving the board members enough time to consider what the decisions are, we will report that to the October 16th meeting, which is the next day. And then there will be a petition going around to hold a special county board meeting Monday night, October 20th. I believe Marion has that going around. It's already done. So I just wanted to touch on that and make sure that you know we want to give as much time as necessary for you to consider what we receive back in the bids and what our options are rather than rush this through in one meeting, obviously. It's a significant decision to make. The other piece that I'll touch on as part of that meeting schedule then, in your lockers is the county administrator's budget as promised. The budget recommendation included in that is a two-page summary that gives you the entire budget and levy in just two quick pages. So you can easily see where levy increases are. It summarizes that very quickly, but of course you have every individual line item, as we've done in previous, in the entire budget book. On Monday, October 6th, the night we were going to do the law enforcement center discussion, I will do an overall presentation to the entire board on the top issues, where spending is changing, where revenues are issues. So we'll give the entire board an overview. And that also is committee week, where committee by committee we'll go through individual department reviews of the departments that report to your committees. I won't do that tonight. I want to give you some time with this, but we will give you an overall viewpoint of that. Also, last meeting, someone was asking, I don't recall who, about more details about parks capital expenses and that type of thing. That's in the back of the book. You can see every detail for all capital, but especially parks. I know there was a request, and some whichever supervisors were requesting that were asking for more information on the park system. These have already been distributed to you, but if you misplaced them and you were one of the supervisors that we're asking, detail parks on statistical use and annual report, as well as the outdoor recreation plan, which ties into the capital plan as well. So if you had a particular interest in that, if you don't, you know, it can obviously come up in debate as we go through the budget, but we have these additional documents to supplement with that. Also, at future meetings, we'll give you additional summaries, things that we've given to you before, like fees and charges, fund balance, sales tax reserve, all of the usual schedules. But we didn't want to give you too much paper. This is quite a bit of information tonight, but expect you'll get all the same information that we've given to you each year as we go through the discussion process. That's all I have.
John Menninger.
Yeah, I never saw any petition for a special meeting on the 20th, and Mr. Erickson, to my right, never saw it either.
What Marion just told me is that she went around before the meeting, people who were here early, and got enough signatures. So it's not actually going to get passed around.
The process.
What's that?
The process.
I don't get a vote on it.
If you get a majority of the board members signing a petition to have the special meeting, you have a special meeting. You don't vote on it. Doesn't work like across the alley, Mr. Menninger. We have different procedures over here. Other questions or comments? You're not irrelevant. But Mr. Menninger, if you would like to come forward and sign that petition, you are very welcome to. That it for you, Mr. O'Malley? All right. Deputy Administrator Report, Gary Ingleson has an item for us.
Yeah, I just want to provide the full board a brief update on a discussion item from this month's executive committee meeting. That particular item was actually requested by or initiated by Mr. Ebert at last month's full county board meeting. Mr. Ebert suggested that administration seek RFP bids for financial services for bonding advisor and bond counsel. Steve and I talked about this at great length, and what we recommended to the Finance Committee, or excuse me, the Executive Committee, is that due to the fact that we're already a good way into the borrowing for the LEC building, we haven't actually accepted any bids for that item yet, but because we've already done a lot of research, not only with Springstead, our financial advisors, but also with Chapman and Cutler, our bond counsel, and also due to the turmoil in the financial markets at this point in time, Mr. O'Malley and I are recommended to the Executive Committee that we hold off doing any RFP until second or third quarter of next year. Again, we felt that it would be most economical to continue with our current advisors and then do a full RFP next year.
Mr. Ebert.
Yes, I thank you. I find that an absolutely satisfactory and good logic, and I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you, Gary. Next, we have Corp Counsel has an item.
Last month, a suggestion was made to advise supervisors of the vote that is required on resolutions and ordinances, we've discussed that with Mr. Doyle and Mr. O'Malley and the county clerk, Marion. And on your agenda, we have indicated those actually in two ways, both on the agenda, the votes that are required when more than a majority is needed. And also, Marion has indicated that on the resolutions themselves, so if you see two-thirds of the vote or of the board or two-thirds of those present, that would be the vote required. When there is nothing indicated, then it would be assumed that it's a majority vote. So most votes are majority, but there are some where two-thirds of either the board or those present is required. So if you would like something more than that, we can certainly take a look at it and provide you with more if needed. Are there any questions about that?
Tambina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, there's a couple of reasons why you'd need a two-thirds vote. First of all, if it isn't in the budget for the preceding year, you would need a two-thirds vote. What are the other reasons why you'd need a two-thirds vote? If it changes from what we planned earlier or something?
Well, it's in 2.0211 of our county code, and it's the section is entitled Action on Fiscal Matters, Non-Budgeted Items. And, yes, it's the first one is transfer of monies from a budgeted purpose to a purpose that was not budgeted. The second is transfers from a current budgeted contingency to individual department budgets for expenditures not anticipated or provided for. The third is new employment positions outside of the budget. And four is receiving grant funds that outside of the budget that are funded only in part by county funds. So if it's a new program, you'd need that. Those are two-thirds of the entire board, so it's obviously 35, two-thirds of 35. There are some two-thirds of those present, and one of them is the issuance of debt that passed by county ordinance some time ago. So that's one that is two-thirds of those present. So, and there are others, but those are the main ones that we deal with.
Any other questions for Bill? Okay, that it for you, Bill?
Yes.
Thank you. Cards and correspondence, check the board over there for items. Committee meetings during recess, I do not know of any. Am I correct? All right. Consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Moved by Mr. Plesha, second by Mr. Sobranek. Discussion or questions on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. We want to shuffle the agenda a little bit to, as a courtesy of the folks that are here, traveled a long way to talk to us about the bonding, so I'm going to call on Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move unanimous consent that we discuss item 6-9 at this point in the agenda, please.
Is there any objection to the request for unanimous consent to go directly to 6-9? Seeing none, that's where we are.
So I would call your attention to the yellow sheet of paper that was placed on your desk this evening, and Resolution 6-9 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution determining to issue $8 million aggregate principal amount of general obligation refunding bonds, Series 2008B of the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, providing details, prescribing the form of bond, awarding the bonds to the best bidder, and levying taxes. Whereas by initial resolutions duly adopted on August 21, 2008, there have been authorized to be issued not to exceed 8.2 million general obligation bonds of the county for the public purpose of refunding certain outstanding obligations of the county, including interest thereon. And whereas notice of the sale of such bonds for such purpose was published on August 26, 2008 in the Bond Buyer, and whereas pursuant to the advertisement aforesaid, sealed bids were received for the purchase of said bonds in said amount until 10 a.m. Central Time on September 18, 2008, today, and are as follows: Robert W. Baird and Company, for a true interest rate of 3.854797, Fidelity Capital Market Services, 3.936459 for a true interest rate, and Bernardi Securities, a true interest rate of 3.973004%. And whereas the bid of Robert W. Baird and Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at a price of $7,988,710.95 plus accrued interest to the date of delivery was the best bid submitted, I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Andrea Richmond. Steve or Gary, who's going to talk about this one? Gary?
I just want to give a brief introduction. Again, what we're doing is refinancing some of our existing debt. Part of it is for the existing law enforcement center, and other piece of it is for some solid waste debt. But again, we're trying to take advantage of the lower interest rates right now than when we originally issued this debt, and we will accomplish about $216,000 worth of savings. What I'd like to do is introduce Brenda Kruger with Springstead, who can provide you with a little bit more detail. Brenda?
Chairman Doyle, members of the board, I'm Brenda Kruger with Springstead Incorporated. We are the financial advisor for the county, and I appreciate you having me here this evening. I want to start with the rating process very briefly. As part of the issuance of these refunding bonds, as we do with all of the county's bond issues, we applied for a credit rating with Moody's Investors Service. And I'm very proud to tell you that your AA2 excellent quality rating was reaffirmed by Moody's at this time. They again note that you have an excellently managed county and you have a very good, stable operation and finance conditions. As part of that discussion on the rating, they took into consideration that you do plan to borrow a significant amount of money for your law enforcement center. So I'd like you to know that that was taken into consideration in this rating. So it knows that your debt will be going up. We talked about a number of things related to the finances of the county. Just to summarize it, I would say that they noted that the quality of planning for the future is what they would expect from the management of a county that has a AA2 rating. So, again, congratulations. As we talked, I've been talking with Gary
Ingvilson at great length in the last couple of days, and I know that you all are aware that the market has great instability at this point in time. And we were anticipating that we were going to have some concerns about what the results would be today when we were in the market, and some of that did come true. You will note that we did receive three bids. That was very positive. What has happened is that you have major banks that are no longer in the market, and you have banks that don't have the money to invest that they did previously. So we are seeing fewer bidders. But you did receive three bids today. Those bids did come in higher than we anticipated, and I'll go into a little bit of explanation of that as well. I'd like you to point out to the yellow sheet that's in front of you that summarized the three bids that we received. Please note that the winning bid from Robert W. Baird included 11 underwriting firms. It took a consolidation of 11 firms to pull their bid together. That is a lot of they're divvying up the full $8 million between all of them to make that interest rate possible. So you had, even though three bids, you had 11 underwriting firms participating in a single bid. So you actually had quite a bit of activity in the market. The interest rate of a 3.85 was higher than we'd anticipated. When we were doing this about a month ago, we thought it would be in the neighborhood of a 3.20. So the interest rate is higher, thus the interest savings to you is lower than we had anticipated. As we noted, we anticipated, we did receive $216,000 of savings over the next 6 years. We had originally looked at in the neighborhood of in over $400,000, so it's less than we were looking at a month ago. But we are still have $216,000 of savings. We still have about $30,000 of savings a year. The only option you have this evening other than awarding the bonds is to reject all of the bids. I can't tell you, and I don't know that even the underwriters could tell you where the market is going to be within the next couple of weeks. So what I've come to you with this evening is a savings of $216,000, and if you were to reject the bids, I cannot tell you tonight if we would be able to go back into the market and obtain greater savings than I can bring to you this evening.
Questions, Don Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, I realize that these 11 firms are not banks, but they have affiliations all over the place. What happens if and when some of these guys would go belly up, or can't that happen? Nobody knows where we're going today with the insurance companies and banks, and especially on the high level. I don't know enough about these 11 firms to know if they're in the banking business or they're in the... Well, why don't you explain it to me, okay, what exactly they are?
We have a mix of banks and investment firms.
Okay.
They all have liquidity in terms of having amount of cash to invest. They have clients who are investors. So these are the banks and investment firms that are purchasing your obligations, and they are buying them on behalf of their investors. When you obtain the bond proceeds in about a month, you have your money. And you will...
It's a guarantee.
It's a guarantee, yes.
Okay, so no matter what may or may not happen to these at some point in time, if one or two or three of these companies took on too many bankrupt houses for all around the country because the local bank needs to sell their loans to the big outfits, if some of these go belly up later on, that won't affect us one way or the other then?
That's correct.
Okay.
Leanne Paff.
I was just going to ask, saying we didn't tonight, or saying we did go with this, when could we refinance again if things got more favorable? Could we in 6 months say there was a drastic change, the opposite, you know, with it going down or more stabilization or whatever? Or when can we go back and do it again, okay, if it's feasible?
Okay. Chairman Doyle, members of the board, that's an excellent question. These bonds do not have a call feature because they're so short. There's only about, we're only going out to 2014. So you will not have an opportunity to refund the bonds, these bonds again.
Sure.
I just want to concur with Brenda. We talked quite a bit, and also Gary and I talked as well. This is a bird in the hand rather than waiting for something else to happen. It saves us over $200,000. We had hoped to save a little bit more, but it's still good. It doesn't extend the term of the bond. Remember, this is refinancing the last 6 years of a portion of your LEC debt. It saves the taxpayer money. We got successful bids from three bidders. Each one of those, by the way, would have saved us money. We had hoped to save more, but sometimes the market just isn't there. To delay this and to hope that the market changes significantly, we would not see that savings of an average of about $30,000 a year. I think it's still good savings. We still recommend that you positively consider this bid and move ahead. We've got larger issues to deal with about the other financing issues, and this is still a good deal for the taxpayers of La Crosse County. It lowers how much we're paying for debt that we've already incurred.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, sir. Your fees then are built into this price already?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the other thing, so does this also possibly spell not as good for our law enforcement center bonds that we're going to let as far as interest rates?
Okay. Chairman Doyle, members of the board, that again is a very good question. We have had a discussion already this afternoon about the fact that we do need to be in the market again in about a month, or we'd anticipated, for the law enforcement center, not only this year but early next year. And we are working with staff, and we will be devising a plan over the next several weeks about how we want to go about that financing. And so I want you to assure you that, although I cannot give you an answer tonight of exactly how we're going to go about that financing, it's foremost in our mind that we're going to go through a process that we're going to try and get you the very best bids that we can. That's both in terms of timing of when we go to the market and how we actually approach the market and involve the underwriting community.
I have a question. I thought I saw an article this morning, or at least a headline, I don't think I read the article, that essentially said that while the anticipation had been that the Federal Reserve was done cutting interest rates, now it looks like they may do a cut. What would the impact be? You don't have a crystal ball, I understand, but I mean, is that something to consider, that could happen and that could affect interest rates, particularly our interest rates here?
You're right. I don't have the crystal ball, Chairman Doyle. I cannot tell you today. The market is in such turmoil and is seeing such conditions that I am afraid to even fathom a guess about what might happen in the market. I'm sorry, but the markets are moving in such directions that we have not seen. I certainly have not seen it in my 20 years in the business, and I really don't know if the reducing the Fed rate will actually result in lower interest rates in the municipal market. I'm just not sure.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, time for a discussion. Any discussion on the proposal, the resolution? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That gets us back then to planning resources and development, right? We don't need to do any of these other ones first. Okay. All right, let's go to Don Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have item 2-9, petition 1789, filed by Gordon and Carol Knutson to rezone from Transitional Agriculture District to Residential District A in the town of Holland. This petition was passed 6-0 by the committee. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Mr. Montai. Is there any discussion or questions on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 3-9, petition number 1790, filed by Kenneth and Barbara Wolf to rezone from exclusive agriculture district to commercial district B in the town of Bangor. The committee again voted 6-0 to approve. I move for approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Mr. Bina, thirded by Mr. Montai. Discussion on this one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. That gets us back to Executive Committee Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 4-9 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Therefore, be it resolved that the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, borrow from the trust funds of the State of Wisconsin the sum of $760,898 for the purpose of financing a portion of the infrastructure for the Lakeview Business Park, and also repay loans from the county's general fund and for no other purposes. I move its approval.
Move by Tara Johnson, second by Vicki Burke. Somebody's going to explain this, I assume. Gary?
Okay, it's on. I believe everybody has on their desk one sheet of paper. It says Lakeview Business Park on it. Let me just give you a brief recap of that. If you turn probably to the second side, it's in portrait style. What the intent to do here is to consolidate and pay off a number of individual loans that we have incurred, some debt that we have incurred through the years in the business park. As everybody knows, the business park has been quite successful, although we need to at this point in time pay off a number of debts. They are listed on this side of the page 2. Some of it was general fund loans. Some of it was gap financing to get us through a period of time from Excel and CenturyTel. And then, in addition to paying back these previous loans, we also need to put in some additional infrastructure for rail. So I do want to assure you that, again, the park being successful will have a TIF increment to pay for this cost. So there definitely will not be any effect on the county tax levy. So I would recommend that you approve this resolution. It's an attractive rate, 4.25%. Again, it's not as attractive as what you saw on that refinancing, but again, new debt almost always costs more than a refinancing. And we are trying to obtain this loan or applying for this loan from the state trust fund.
Anybody have any questions for Gary? Ralph Geary.
Gary, what kind of interest are we getting on our investments now, on our longer-term ones?
Well, it kind of fluctuates, but the average that we're getting right now is only 2.81%.
Why don't we borrow them the money then and take the 4.25?
Well,
I see on your next resolution you're going to take $2.5 million, put interest stabilization fund. You could use this interest income for the next 10 years. It'd be the same thing. Wouldn't it just be at a higher rate?
I guess that's an option, but keep in mind that, you know, we've had prior resolutions whereby the general fund has borrowed money to the business park, and frankly, we should have paid back the general fund earlier than now. So, you know, again, with challenges and struggles with the county budget, we felt that it would be good to pay off the general fund, clean the slate there, and go to the state trust fund.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the general. I'm talking about the next resolution. You're going to take $2.5 million, stick it into a fund for interest stabilization. Why don't we take the 760 out of there? We'll get the 4.25. That won't affect the general fund because you're going to take $2.5 million out anyway. Then you'd take out $1.8 million or something plus this loan.
Certainly, but what we're trying to do here is have the West Salem Lakeview Business Park stand on its own from its own revenue rather than up to this point we've acted as the bank, as the general fund. You'll also notice that this loan is for 10 years, which is less than the 13-year term of the Village of West Salem TIF district. The intent of doing the business park was to have it stand on its own, have it handle its own finance, not to have the county act as its own bank. Yes, Mr. Gere, you're technically right. It is a slightly higher interest rate than we're able to invest in now, but that fluctuates over the period of time. Over the whole 10 years, there's no guarantee that we wouldn't make more interest or less. But cleaning up the books and having the Lakeview Business Park stand on its own from its own revenue stream makes the general fund whole. Then you are in the policy position to make your own decisions about how you invest the general fund and what other options. It just seemed cleaner to have the general fund paid back as it should be and let the business park stand on its own from its own revenue sources.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Gary, can you tell us how much we have invested in the infrastructure out there at this time and how much more you expect us to have to invest there?
I guess I would request that Brian Fukuda come in. I can probably give you the answer, but Brian knows this very intimately, so he'll provide you with the answer.
Brian, you heard the question?
Yes. Yes, thank you. It becomes a little bit confusing because there's TIF investment and there's non-TIF investment. So since we started the TIF district at the beginning of 2007, and projecting out through the end of 2008, our total TIF expenses are $1,316,000. That is less the grant income that we've received. So we have received DOC and DOT grants from the state. We've also received a federal grant from the EDA that will be going towards the construction of the business park over the next 2 years, including the end of this year. So the TIF district has actually invested $1.316 million. Prior to that, I apologize. I wasn't around then, so I don't have a handle on exactly what those finances were. But this sheet kind of summarizes the current debt that we have. If you add up the state trust fund loan, which was $344,000. The XL Energy financing and CenturyTel financing and County Business Fund gap financing of $50,000 each, the County General Fund land sale revenue, that's not what we have invested in the park, but if you look at the County General Fund cash flow loan of $120,000, that would indicate that it's about, if I add that up real quick in my head, which I'm not very good at, about $650,000 of previous debt that was non-TIF eligible debt, and that's what we're looking to try to pay off most of that.
And all this was for infrastructure, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Leon Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle. Getting back to Ralph's question there, you made the comment that one was 13 years versus 10 years, the debt structure difference in those. But what I was getting at is, why couldn't you refinance it next year? Is there a big hurry to do it right now? When you're looking at just about double the interest rate, would things change that much in the next year? Or, you know, if things do change, could you do it next year and save the money this year, 2%?
If I'm understanding your question, you're actually mixing two things. We're talking about an interest rate of what the county makes on its investment of cash balances versus a debt issuance of what interest that the business park would pay. The 10 years and the 13 years is that the 13-year TIF allows to collect revenue as long as the TIF district is open to make appropriate payments for expenses within that district. By only borrowing for 10 years, and we believe that that will be no problem based on the projections and based on current investments that are already there, we should be able to close that TIF district earlier than the 13 years originally projected. In fact, that was one of the goals that the Village Board had asked, if we can do things that can accelerate payment of the infrastructure. So the 10 years is actually better, and showing that the success of the park with no other infrastructure built or just that current development that's there, this will pay off in 10 years. So that's one thing. The difference between the interest that the county invests money at this year has probably been one of the worst interest years that we make money off of, that other people pay us for that investment, is 2.8. The philosophical difference is, should the Lakeview Business Park stand on its own, pay its own debts, or should the County General Fund be the banker? We would submit and recommend to you that the County General Fund should not be the ongoing lending agency to the business park. You may have other things that you want the general fund to invest in that could make better interest, but again, this cleans finances up, makes it very clear. At the time that we started the business park, remember, there was no TIF district. We could only borrow from the general fund or the state trust fund. We just think this is cleaner. It stands on its own. It's its own finances, instead of using the full faith and credit immediately of the general fund.
But the question really is, when that time came, when you could get a better return on your money, would it be possible to go to borrow this money and do this at that point until you find a better place for your 2.8% money?
Steve, what I think that Leon is saying, and I think that he makes an interesting point, if we did this financing now and we said for 10 years we're going to lock in that the general fund is going to loan this money, then at some point when investment rates go up, then it may have been a bad idea. But if we say until such time as it crosses that threshold and we can actually get more money doing this, why don't we just park it here at the time that our investments can get better than what we can get from this loan, then we farm this loan out to the state trust fund. I mean, philosophical is fine and dandy, but isn't really about money? And if we can get more money this way, isn't that better?
Certainly, but the variable that's maybe not, that I'm not explaining very clearly, is the general fund gets back the 700 some thousand or most of that in cash. So it's not about the interest rate between, and maybe Gary can figure it out, between 4.25 and 2.8 on 700,000, or what the total amount of general fund is, a relatively small number. It's more important that the general fund is made whole and we have that cash back on hand as you need it for future purposes. So it's both philosophical and the fact that we pay the county back.
I think Don Bina and then Ralph had his hand up again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I personally like the idea that we are reimbursing the county for the expenses we inherited over the last number of years since we started the business park. And I don't think there's that much difference in the amount of interest one way or the other. This $760,000, the question I have, that will more than pay off the debt indebtedness for what we're looking at on this sheet. Is the remaining amount that we have there enough to go down the road with the infrastructure for a while, or are we going to need some more capital to put the infrastructure in? Let's say two or three new guys come in and want to put their businesses in the industrial park. Now, I did hear Charlie Handy say at our meeting that when we were talking about it in the zoning meeting that day, that the income that's being generated, or the assessed value, was higher than anticipated out there. So evidently it's generating more dollars than we anticipated as we projected. So is that amount and the amount we got in the 760 enough to not worry about borrowing any more money to put the infrastructure in there?
Again, I think I'd like to have Brian address that question.
The simple answer is no. What we're looking to borrow at this point is to pay for our remaining expenses that we anticipate for 2008. So it's to install the rail that we need to install to get the rail service to Amherhart, which is currently building their building in the business park and are hoping to move in by the end of this year. So we need to build the rail. There's a couple other smaller projects. We need to finish up the road construction from the project that's already been started. So this amount is to pay off our consolidate our debts and pay our expenses for the rest of the year. The idea of the business park has always kind of been that we will put in the infrastructure based on the development agreements that we have signed and in hand and guaranteed. We want to have increment guaranteed to pay our debt before we put in any other infrastructure. So the next time we have a business prospect come in and say they want to purchase land, the next parcel down from Amherhart, then at that point we need to look at the increment that they're willing to guarantee in their development agreement, figure out what kind of debt service that can pay, and then borrow again to put in that infrastructure. We do have approximately 12 acres on the north side of the road that we can still sell. We can use that sale in that increment. If we sell that before we sell anything more on the south side of the road, hopefully that'll give us some increment that we can use to guarantee some more borrowing or some more infrastructure construction. But the premise is that we don't want to build any more infrastructure. We don't want to take on any more debt until we know that we have a development agreement signed that's going to guarantee us that they're going to pay it.
But the point that I was wondering about is how many more times are we going to have to borrow? Because I hear you saying the TIF should stand its own, and I agree with that. But if we have to borrow again, I would assume it's coming out of the general fund? Or where is it coming from if and when we get new people out there in the park?
I would hope that it would not come out of the general fund. I think what we would do is at that point we would figure out, you know, how much infrastructure we need to put in, what it's going to cost, the increment that's guaranteed by that development agreement, and then we would go through a similar analysis of what we did to bring you this borrow. Is we would look at the state trust fund, we would look at potentially bonding. We did speak with Springstead about a potential bonding approach for this borrow, and this was easier and ultimately we figured would cost us less because of the upfront costs of bonding. So
okay, then the bonding in the future would be dependent on the people who come in and the cost, and it would be on the standalone TIF.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Gary wanted to add to that.
Sure. I just want to provide you with a couple more numbers. Even though currently at the present time we're only averaging 2.81% on the county's investments, last year for calendar year 2007 when we averaged 4.84, the prior year we averaged 4.58. So, you know, for the last couple of years it was certainly higher than 4.25, which is what the state trust fund is asking us. Now keep in mind that if we delay this further, we're also running the risk of the state trust fund possibly increasing their interest rate. So again, the interest rate markets are in turmoil right now. They're fluctuating all kinds of different ways, and again, we feel, I guess, at this particular point in time that 4.25 is an attractive rate.
Unfortunately, Ralph, a couple other people who haven't spoken yet raised their hand in the meantime, so I'm going to call on you in a minute, but Mr. Ebert is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. By doing this, does this allow us to increase the general fund by $700,000 or, you know, roughly? Then does that allow us to spend it this year without it showing up as no additional raise in levy or anything?
No, any spending of that has to come back through the board, and we don't have a specific proposal for it. It's the fact is that we never intended that the general fund would be the bank for the Lakeview Business Park, particularly after establishing the TIF district. The idea was to make it back whole. But no, you can't spend money without coming back through the board.
No, I realize you'd come back through the board, but by coming back through the board, we approve spend $700,000 or something, yet our levy doesn't go up. We're still spending and making it look like we haven't increased anything to the public. And I'm just wondering, is that a possibility?
I don't know what purpose that would be for you. It would still go into your gross spending. It would be a matter of it would be like spending fund balance doesn't show up as an increased levy. It's a way of paying for one-time expenses. Is that what you mean?
Okay, thank you.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. When you look at the debt payoffs that are there, a number of them are from back in the days when the business park was being started prior to the TIF, and where land had not yet been sold, or the land was being sold at a lower cost in order to get some people in there and to get the business park rolling. And in particular, I think I'm correct in saying that Xcel Energy, Centritel in particular, and I think also the county general fund, the promises were made that as soon as we were able to sell the land for future sales, that money should be paid back. And it was considered a very temporary loan situation at that time, just in order to get it off the ground. Now that we have a TIF and it's generating an increment, it seems to me that it makes a lot of sense to get on it. We could micromanage this for indefinitely, but we have some debts that need to get paid off. We have a way to take care of it and to clean up the whole thing, and I'd encourage people to support it.
Ralph Geary.
The issue is if we're going to pay this off or borrow the money, it's the $760,000, we're going to borrow it. The question is, where should we borrow it from? People are talking about the fund should stand on its own two feet. If it ever fails, we're going to step in and make sure it stays whole. We own the whole farm. We're selling it off in increments. And from the beginning of time, we're not letting that thing go bankrupt. If they would ever have financial difficulty, they'll be back here to the county, and we will step in. We won't let that go under. So it's kind of a misnomer to say they're on their own. They're like an enterprise fund. If a nursing home doesn't take in enough revenue to cover their expenses, we cover it. I mean, it's similar to that situation. I mean, when people say it stands on their own, yeah, it'll stand on its own. We keep separate books for it. But if it has a problem, you can bet the county will make sure it doesn't go under.
Brad Paff.
Thank you, Chairman Doyle. I did my mathematics longhand, so Gary, you may want to use your calculator, but we're borrowing money at 4.25%, and on the next resolution is we're receiving interest at 2.8%. That's a difference of 1.45% interest. Of $760,898, my longhand came to approximately $11,032.93 a year, and this is going to be for 10 years. So you may want to, what is the savings and what's the cost? And if you could just do that and let us know.
Were you calculating that on a declining balance, though, Mr. Paff?
That's why I need you to run your numbers.
I think
it'd be helpful if you could share that information with us.
Yeah, I don't have that available right now because the state trust fund loan has unusual payback schedules. I think that's a pretty high number that you just quoted, because, again, you're not doing it on a declining balance, are you?
No, I did not do it on a declining balance. Yes. I just did straight longhand, and that's why I'd like to hear your numbers.
I mean, my thought from my experience about borrowing money for this type of purpose, again, if you stretch that out over 10 years, it'd probably be about half of what you said per year. So it'd be, what did you say, $11,000?
$11,032.
Yeah, it's probably more like about $5,500 times
per year, times
correct,
10 years.
Correct, yeah.
So about $55,000 we can estimate.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Other discussion? Mr. Ebert.
Is a motion in order to hold over for 30 days? Is that a legal motion?
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion to hold over 30 days so we can get better figures.
Mr. Ebert moves to hold over for 30 days. Is there a second on that? Second by Mr. Sobranek. Discussion on holding over for 30 days. Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. If we were to hold it over for 30 days, we could disrupt this whole process, because we already have a negotiation with the state trust fund, And as you all know, and has been said many times tonight, the markets are in total flux, and we're just very lucky that we have something in hard figures that we can at least know what we're doing. Do we want to play roulette or do we want to do business?
Mr. Geary.
Is that rate for 30 days or 60 days or something, Gary? Or how does that work?
Off to the top of my head, I believe it would be 30 days.
Okay. If you had to, you could have it at the policy meeting to make sure we stay in that timeline. In, instead of the 30 days, you know.
Mr. O'Malley?
Well, obviously, you're the policymakers. You can make whatever decision. I think it's interesting. The intent was that the business park would pay back the county, that we weren't in the business of being a bank. We happen to be at the lowest interest rate we've received as a general fund. Even that $5,500 that was estimated would not be the same over the entire period of time. The idea when we started this is we weren't going to be the bank, and in fact, we are in arrears, if you will, as a business fund. We are supposed to pay back the county when we had proceeds, and that's the whole idea. In fact, when you buy the land from the county, you're supposed to, the business fund is supposed to pay it back within the year. We're beyond that on most of this, and remember, this was before there was a TIF revenue stream. We kind of jump-started it, saying, gee, there's no other way to get this started. So to take a position that we, this small amount of interest, it really is the point that the county was not to be the banker. The TIF district was supposed to support the funding. It's happening faster and will pay off quicker and probably save more interest because there's no downside to paying off this this balance earlier. We're trying to project on a 10-year moving target. And again, the issue is the general fund wasn't supposed to be the bank for this. In fact, I remember it was my first meeting here. You really wrestled with this. It happened to be the same night I was hired. You really wrestled with whether or not, and it was not a unanimous vote. It was very close on whether or not you were going to invest general fund because you thought, why should the general fund invest in starting a business park? Why doesn't the village TIF it? Why doesn't somebody else step forward? Now you're finally in a position where you've got a great success. You can get paid back. But, gee, don't pay us back because there might be a couple thousand dollars difference. I'm missing the – but, again, I'm just giving you the five-year view. You guys really struggled. I'd have to look, but I don't think it passed by more than a couple votes of whether or not to lend the money, and you didn't really want to do that.
Ryan wanted to add something.
I just had a comment on the holdover for 30 days. We have the rail project that we need to move forward with. We've actually awarded that bid, and Amherhart is looking to get in by the end of the year. They need their rail access. That's a $390,000 contract, and part of this borrow is to get the money to pay that. We do have a cash balance in our account right now from our last land sale of about $360,000. So the timing, I'm not sure Gary might be able to fill us in on the timing of actually getting those funds from the state trust fund once we actually complete the process of applying from them. How quickly we can get that, but that's the reason. I guess I would make a request that we hopefully make a decision on it tonight so we can move forward with that and not jeopardize holding up that rail construction at all.
Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I unfortunately was unable to attend, but didn't the Economic Development Fund look at this and recommend that we move forward with this resolution? And again, I'm not trying to... I think the questions that have been raised tonight are very valid questions, but that committee is charged solely with the responsibility of looking out for the, that business park. And we have on that committee community leaders and bankers and investment people. And I, as a member of that committee, absolutely defer to their wisdom and insight when it comes to this kind of stuff. And that moved forward from the Economic Development Fund to Executive Committee. It passed Executive Committee and is coming here. And I think, these questions are good and, the numbers are interesting, but I guess I support the resolution and I hope that we're able to pass it tonight and not stall it, because if that was if those concerns were there in this cycle for the Economic Development Fund, I think we would have heard about it from those two committees that have already reviewed it.
Bill Brackmiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As some know, I'm an economist by trade, but I don't profess to be a financial expert or a bond expert. But it seems, even though they're in a way not related, this issue is related in, to some degree to the issue we already passed, in that we were told that we still have a AA2 bond rating, and from my learnings and my understanding, this is good financial stewardship to pay back that fund and to set up a closer thing so that it park is closer, if not completely closer, to truly operating as its own entity. So while we did get a AA2 bond rating even with this out there, this is just improving financial stewardship, and I would recommend not holding it over, and I would strongly recommend passing it as well. Thank you.
Brad Paff.
Thank you. I find this debate extremely interesting, and Steve, I absolutely love your passion. And just to play devil's advocate a second, is it not in the county's best financial interest to get the highest possible return on their dollar? And right now, the interest rate that we're receiving on our dollar is 2.8%. And if we borrow to this infrastructure fund, the correct term escapes me, we would receive 4.25%. So could it not be argued that La Crosse County taxpayers, and be a good financial steward of La Crosse County, that we actually would be better off if this county loaned the money from our reserve to the Lakeview at 4.25% rather than continuing to receive interest of 2.8%, just to play devil's advocate.
Gary wants to respond to that.
I would like to support the comments that Mr. Brockmiller made. When Springsteen and I had our conference call with Moody's Investor Service when they were deciding and determining what rate to rate our credit, one of the criteria, or two of the criteria, is what are the balances in your undesignated general fund balance, okay? And again, we are trying to pay back the general fund again to keep those balances at a significant level so that we can continue with our AA2 rating. Another thing that Mr. Brockmiller mentioned that is also extremely critical to Moody's is the fact that La Crosse County, as in Lakeview, the partnerships that we have are working on in trying to make Lakeview as financially sound as we can, again, they really offer a lot of credit to La Crosse County trying to make the individual funds stand on their own merit. So that's, again, what we're trying to do here with the business park.
Sure.
Supervisor Paff, yes, if that's the only consideration is the small 1.whatever% of interest, certainly, but that's not the only question. Also in your budget document as you go through, you will be, if you adopt the majority of our recommendations, you will be spending some fund balance on things. As an example, in roads, one of the largest increases that we've made in levy that you'll notice is in roads. Part of the way that we accomplish that is increased levy, increased taxes, and also increased use of fund balance. Remember, we're going to be applying $1 million under my recommendation to build roads. We're spending down parts of the fund balance, not in the undesignated part, but otherwise. It's more important that the general fund receives the payments back. It's not just about a difference of a little bit over 1% interest. It's also about maintaining the high fund balances and that the Lakeview Business Park fulfills its commitment to the general fund by paying it back.
Pardon? Vicki Burke.
Move to close debate on the question to postpone.
Who is the seconder? John Menninger. Okay, move to close debate on the motion to hold over for 30 days. All in favor of closing debate on the motion to hold over, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ralph Geary votes no. Debate is, and Maureen Friedland votes no. Debate is closed on that. The motion before you is whether we should hold this over for 30 days or not. If you are in favor of holding over for 30 days, vote yes. If you want to vote on it tonight, vote no. Let's try this on a voice vote initially. All in favor of holding over for 30 days, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
No. The no are the ayes. Please raise your hand. They are Ray Ebert, Jerry Sobranek, Bobby Erickson, Ralph Geary, and Jeff Schrader. That motion fails, so we are back to the resolution as presented. Any discussion on that before we take a vote on it? Ralph Geary.
You also forgot to tie this resolution in with the following resolution, which is 5.9. In that resolution, you're going to take $2.5 million from the undesignated general fund to an interest revenue stabilization reserve. If you only take $1.8 million, none of the other balances in the budget are going to change, and the 4.25% interest then would go into this fund. It isn't going to affect your general fund balance, because I'm suggesting you take it out of that $2.5 million. You're going to move to a separate fund anyway.
Joe Veenstra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to get my hands around this. I apologize. This isn't my bailiwick, but the idea that's sort of been bandied about is that this, the interest on investment revenues in our budget earns a better interest rate than what we're going to get from this trust fund loan. And I just was sort of...
Just the opposite, Joe.
The opposite, right. I'm sorry. And what I was just looking at the budget that you gave us, just that line item, and I noticed that it goes down from 2008 original budget, 2.297, and then it's projected for 2008 to actually be $1.33 million, and then in 2009 it's $1.5 million. So it's from 2006 to 2009 it's gone down almost $1 million on the revenue side. And I just want to make sure I'm clear about this. That's because it's needed for other expenses in the budget. I mean, you said it's for the roads or whatever else.
No, you're referring to a revenue item. The reason the interest is projected to go down for this year is that interest rates have gone down significantly over last year. Last year, and Gary's got a presentation on this where he'll show you some detail on it, but last year we made $2.8 million just on reserves, just on investment of that. Interest rates have dropped off since January 1, and that's why we've got the other resolution, which is related to your budget. But you still have to maintain as high a cash balances as you can, and part of that is repaying the general fund, which, again, was always the intention, was to have the business fund, regardless of what the interest rates were, eventually pay for the land that it purchased and not have the general fund be the banker for the business park. But you're referring very clearly to a revenue item. Yes, that's what's happened to interest rates.
All right. Thanks.
Any further discussion? Okay, let's vote on the computer. If you are in favor of the resolution, vote aye. If you are opposed to the resolution, vote no. And while we're waiting for the votes, let me just express my disappointment in the teachers on the county board for not pointing out that you do not borrow to, you lend to, you borrow from. Just trying to help us out here. I don't know. Anybody besides Bridget missing? We must have 34. Looks like it. I only think Bridget's gone. Oh, look right past that chair. You're right. So that would be 33. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Oh. The vote is 29 to 4, 29 yeses, 4 noes. It required a two-thirds vote, which would be 22. It did get that, so it did pass. Next item, Tara Johnson.
On a separate matter, Resolution 5-9 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding authorizing the transfer of prior year's excess investment interest earnings from the undesignated general fund account for the purpose of establishing an interest revenue stabilization fund reserve. Whereas in the years 2005, 2006, and 2007, the county received a total of $3,551,445 in excess interest earnings over the projected budgets, and whereas due to the fact that interest rates have dropped significantly since the beginning of 2008...
Oh, sorry.
He's sending me a message. The 2008 interest budget will be approximately $1 million short by the end of 2008. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board recognizes that approximately $1 million of the existing undesignated general fund balance will be needed to satisfy the 2008 projected shortfall. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board transfer an additional $2.5 million from the undesignated general fund balance account to an interest revenue stabilization reserve account to be utilized in future years to help stabilize the potential significant swings in actual interest earnings. Be it further resolved that any shortfalls of interest earnings in future years beyond 2008 will be funded from this reserve account, and any excess interest earnings in future years will be added to this reserve account. The fiscal note is that the December 31st, 2007 balance in the undesignated general fund account was $16,948,307, which represents 58.8% of actual 2007 general fund expense. Reducing this balance by $3,500,000 will reduce this percentage to 46.7%, which is still within county ordinance requirements of 40% to 50% range. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Vicki Burke. Discussion on this item. Ralph Geary.
Okay, Gary, on this $2.5 or $3.5 million we're going to take and put in this interest stabilization fund, in the 2009 budget, what interest rate did you project?
Like others have spoken this evening, Gary nor the finance department can project interest rates. I think what would be better to look at is...
I didn't ask for a projection. I assume we're far enough along the 2009 budget. You had to put in a revenue account.
Right.
Okay, so you had to put that revenue account in based on a certain interest rate. I know you can't project, but you got to guess something.
Right.
Did you put in at 3 or...
Well, the dollar amount that we budgeted for interest revenue in 2009 is $1.5 million.
What is the interest rate, though, that you took this money, you're going to invest it for? What kind of interest rate are we getting?
We used approximately 3%.
Approximately 3%. Right. Okay.
Further discussion or questions? All in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
We've already covered item 6-9, so we're on to 7-9 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, acknowledging the best of public service. Whereas the following employees have been a faithful part in providing the best of public service to La Crosse County: Susan D. Whitewater in Emergency Services Department, 33-plus years, Michael Nulf in the Highway Department, 30-plus years, and James D. Olson in the Facilities Department, 23-plus years. Whereas it is the wish of the County Board of Supervisors to acknowledge long and faithful service on behalf of the citizens of La Crosse County, now therefore be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in the La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude, I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Margaret Wood. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no, Bobby Erickson. Carried.
Item 8-9 was tabled in committee. That moves us to item 9-9, and I yield the floor to Supervisor Ebert.
Mr. Ebert. Mr. Spiker.
I have a question. 8.9.
All right. Is your mic on?
Pardon?
Is your mic on?
There it is.
Okay.
Geez, I thought I talked long enough. But, Bill, if you, what happened in executive committee is that it was tabled, the discussion, not the resolution, but the discussion. That's my understanding.
No.
What was the motion? Maybe you can explain better than I, Mr. Chairman, what happened in executive committee.
The initial motion that Mr. Rauch made was before there was any anything on the floor, he moved to table, and that would have simply been a tabling of the discussion. But then before, then he didn't make that he withdrew that. And before the motion was made to table a second time, the motion was made to reject the resolution. So he was moving actually to table something that was on the floor.
Okay, then I, myself and one other supervisor were on the no to do that. So that technically, is that a minority report? No. Bill, you know something that I've told you about went on. Now, Mr. Doyle might have said something else, might have said the same thing. Don't I have a right then to bring that on the floor? And it's on the agenda for the county board to vote on that through either that process as a minority report or as to bring out a committee. Doesn't Robert's Rule of Order says a supervisor has a right to take something out of committee and take it to the board floor if it's on the agenda for the county board?
We have a rule that we follow Robert's Rules of Order when it's not in conflict with Wisconsin statutes or the rule of the county board on matters that are referred to committee. Our rule is that the committee has 90 days to bring it to the county board. Mm-hmm. So at this point, if this hasn't come out of committee within 90 days, then a minority would have a right to bring it to the county board. But right now it's in committee, and they have 90 days, basically.
Well, then he can't get the if he gets I don't support the resolution, to be blunt about it. But I do support not eight people, nine people making a decision for the whole county board, and particularly for the newer members of the county board. There's another process you can do later on that Steve and I have talked about that's in the 2009 budget. So there's another, but the crucial part is you have to have, and Marion can correct me, I guess, by a certain date for anything of a referendum. So by delaying for 90 days, he has no chance of getting on for a referendum.
Not in the fall election, but there is a spring election.
The next election. Okay, but the budget's put together to be for that, isn't it? I mean, in November. I mean, it could possibly affect the budget. People saying something, how they support or oppose it, now you can't tell me that ain't going to affect supervisors. And all I'm trying to do is protect the rights of other supervisors. The second point
this is a rule that's been long established. According to my page of the county code, this rule has been in effect since 2005.
But two wrongs don't make a right, does it? You see where I'm coming from, that he can't make a decision. He can't get what he wants, even on the board floor for 90 days, then he can't do it, unless another election. But the second thing that's a little more disturbing to me is by doing what the executive committee did, I was at the same meeting, Mr. Doyle, was that, when was that, Monday, Steve, or on a women's shelter, or a women's, that meeting we were at that you stated that that decision, once we make the decision, will go to the Public Works Committee and Health. And what if my committee or Public Works Committee decided to not consider that? How would they have to wait 90 days to get to the board then?
That is correct. unless the, if there was a no vote, then there can be a minority report. If it is tabled, you can't.
Done just like the executive committee did now.
Correct.
What if I did it just exactly like the? Would that have to be delayed then 90 days? Delay that project, which I wouldn't want to do.
Probably.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any difference. Mr. Menninger.
Well, since we're just a little off subject, isn't there something in Robert's Rules of Order about pulling a bill from a committee, or is that just a state legislative kind of thing? That's bottled up.
But even if it's in Robert's Rules of Order, our ordinance supersedes that.
So there's not another process for pulling an item out of committee that's been tabled by
Correct.
A supermajority of the county
board?
Well,
that process is that it automatically comes out in 90 days. That is the process that we have for, which I guess I would say is the equivalent of that state process. Okay. So we're on item 9-9. Mr. Ebert.
Mr. Chair, I move to reconsider resolution 40-8, slant bar 08. Also, I believe that's, what is that, 9.9, I think, on tonight's agenda, or on your packet. And if second, I wish to retain the floor.
Mr. Ebert moves to reconsider the item from last month. Is there a second? Second by Jeff Schrader. Mr. Ebert.
Yes, Mr. Chair. When this was voted on last year or last meeting, there was considered to be no cost to it in the financial note. And I supported the resolution at that time and now think that the cost of $3,000, that I'm no longer in favor. During the November 2006 election, the referendum question, and I quote, should the Wisconsin legislature pass a bill by 2008 that will assure access to quality and affordable health care coverage for all Wisconsin individuals and families, end quote. That was on the ballot, and I believe it passed with over 80%. It seems to me we're spending money on a question that we already know, that with the public sentiments, and it just makes no sense to spend that $3,000 to me.
Before we have any further debate on this, I'm going to ask Mr. Shepherd to explain procedurally how this works, and you have a motion to reconsider. Bill?
Reconsider the resolution, it requires a majority vote of the county board. So before you even get into a debate on the merits of the resolution, you have to have a vote. So as I understand it, the discussion now is on the reconsideration, but to get to the merits, you have to pass that motion.
In other words, if Mr. Ebert's motion passes, then we would discuss the resolution.
Correct.
So really the issue before you right now is the first of the two stages, which is should it be reconsidered? All right. I'm going to ask Marion to talk a little bit about that fiscal note. She had put a little half-page explanation on your desk the other day, but the problem is that a lot of people didn't connect the dots in terms of why is this on my desk. excuse me. I'd like her to talk about that tonight.
The reason why I did that was so I didn't have to talk.
Sorry.
But anyway, the reason why it costs money to put a referendum on the ballot is because my office has to do the work. We have publications that have to go out too. There's a type A notice that has to notify the public that there will be a referendum, and then the day before the election itself also gets published in the paper so people know what they're voting on. And this includes an explanation of a yes and a no vote, so it gets to be lengthy sometimes. It's very hard for us to give you an exact figure on why it costs or how much it would cost, because we need to know this. I'm trying to explain where I'm going here. What we need to do is we need to know where it's going to be placed on the ballot. It would make a difference if it makes it a longer ballot. It would cost more money. It makes a difference if this referendum would put our ballot on a two-side. It also is costly because we have to make posters up for each polling place, the county clerk does, to be posted twice in each polling place, this incomplete resolution with its explanation again. We don't know at this point how many ballots each municipal clerk will ask for, so depending upon the quantity of the ballots, that also is a big dollar figure, and especially in the November election because it's a presidential, and so we have a lot of voters that come out, usually 75% to 80%. So we're talking 111,000 people in the county, which is about probably 90,000 ballots we would be purchasing, and so this would also be an added expense. And that's there's no way we can give you an exact dollar figure ever, because every referendum is different, every ballot is different, and so looking at one from 2 years ago wouldn't even give you an exact figure. So we've kind of figured the numbers out and guesstimated around $3,000, give or take. Anybody have any questions?
Jerry Zoranek.
We're on 9.9?
Correct.
Okay. We're talking $3,000 in the fiscal note. There's no cost in La Crosse County.
That's what Marion is trying to explain, is that that was an error. The way that this came out is that when that resolution was before you last month, the fiscal note said zero. Both Marion and Bill, I think, or Gary, some were gone, and so that number got put on there really by mistake. Mr. Ebert then came in to have a resolution drafted with regard to the stadium, and that one said $3,000, and he justifiably said, wait a minute, one said zero, the other said $3,000, what's the answer? We asked Marion then to look into that and give us the correct answer. And what she's saying is, it's not zero, but it is something, and it might be $3,000.
So the fiscal note is going to be changed?
The fiscal note, nothing is going to happen on the fiscal note unless you reconsider this. If the motion to reconsider fails, it stays as is. If the motion to reconsider passes, then you decide what you're going to do. But, I mean, the past, we don't change. We do things going forward, if that makes any sense. Mr. Geary.
Well, where is that $3,000 coming from? Does that require a general fund transfer that we didn't know about or something? Or
The $3,000 that would probably be my cost is in my election budget, hopefully, but I can't guarantee that. You know, like I said, elections are a guess every year. There's a possibility I may have enough money in there. There's a possibility I may not. I have different line items. Publication is one, and then my ballots, my printing is another one. So, and then duplicating and printing also. So I may have money in there for it. I may not.
Even if it is not, it is my understanding the election will still go forward.
It has to.
If she would have put the money in there last month, and if, hypothetically, she'd have said this required a general fund transfer, the voting could have turned out differently, and then you would have needed a two-thirds vote to even get the funding.
No, because we don't know.
She said that it would have required a general fund transfer. It would have required a last month. I'm saying hypothetically. I don't know that.
Under that theory, if she came to us and said, we understand there's going to be higher voter turnout than we had anticipated by a long shot, and I need to print more ballots, she's going to do that without a two-thirds vote, even though it exceeds her budget.
Right, but on a separate resolution, this is
something. It's part of the same ballot.
From a budget standpoint, since we have it in front of us, if you want to go to that page, which is page 5, and look up printing, board-approved budget for this year's elections for printing alone is $40,000. Her estimate at the time that had no referendum consideration was $37,900. In theory, if it's $3,000, and obviously that it depends on what the final ballot comes out to be, it's well within the $40,000 or just within striking distance of that. So it's always an estimate until you actually do the bids and actually print the ballot. So my point is there, it's within the budget that's actually there. She was already projecting to be slightly under.
The motion before you is whether we should reconsider the resolution from last month. Any further discussion on the issue of whether we should reconsider? All in favor? Mr. Veenstra. Sure, that's okay.
I was just curious because I was looking at the ordinances about motions for reconsideration, and it says a motion for reconsideration may only be made by a supervisor who voted on the prevailing side of such matter, provided that the motion for reconsideration is made on the same day, the following day if a meeting is more than one day, or the next county board session. So that's today?
That's correct.
All right. I just want to make sure I understood how the process worked.
We don't count policy planning for that purpose, so
sure.
This is the next one from that date.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, the motion is to reconsider. All in favor of reconsideration, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
I think we're going to need to do that on the computer. If you wish to reconsider, vote yes. If you do not wish to reconsider, in other words, to let it stand, vote no. Yes, if you want to re-vote on that referendum. No, if you do not. The motion has 13 yeses, 20 noes. That fails, so that will not be reconsidered. Tara Johnson, is that the end of executive for you? Thank you, ma'am. Judiciary and Law, Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First consideration of ordinance number 67 regarding an ordinance to repeal section 1.55, paragraph 2, paragraph C, and create section 1.77 to be entitled Joint City-County Emergency Medical Services Commission of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move to consider this the first reading and move to next month for its final consideration.
That will be held over for 30 days. We don't normally debate things at its first reading, but we certainly can if people have any comments or questions that they want on this particular issue. Mr. Spiker.
Under 8-E, under our ordinance, I request a public hearing at the pleasure of the chair, because I think it's very important that people differentiate between the ambulance and then what you're trying to do here.
I think that's a very good point, and we will do that. As I have indicated previously, we are hoping to stay on the same track as the city. We are a two-month process, obviously, if we hold these things over. They are a one-month process. Their proposal that was made by the mayor was pulled from the city council, and they did not consider one this month. Mr. Harnden and I are going to be talking sometime in the next few days, hopefully, about where he hopes the city is going to go on it. So it is possible that we could vote on this or be asked to vote on this next month. It is also possible, perhaps probable, that it would be sometime after that. If I have not had a chance to work out something with Mr. Harnden and the mayor, then I'm going to ask to hold this over until that can happen, is my expectation, so that we may not have a public hearing then within the next 30 days. So I'll kind of keep you posted on that, but right now I can't tell you exactly when that would be, but I think Mr. Spiker's point is very well taken. We have promised that we are going to be having public hearings before we vote on these ambulance-related things, and we are going to.
We have to vote on it, Mr. Chairman, if they agree with me or don't. If they don't, we don't do it. That's the ordinance with the ordinance.
Okay. Do we need a second on that? Does the ordinance require? Okay, seconded by Mr. Ebert. All in favor of having a public hearing before we actually take a vote, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Mr. Menninger, did you have a comment? I thought you were raising your hand. Oh, okay. All right. Is that it for you, Ms. Burke?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, items for future agenda or other announcements? Mr. Menninger.
Yeah, I noticed in reading the minutes from the Law Enforcement Committee or Judiciary Committee, I guess, that there was some concern about the cost to the county of providing support for presidential candidates who might be wandering through La Crosse County. I would encourage the county, for any politically related event, Democrat, Republican, or whatever, that we have to provide extraordinary service, which has extraordinary costs, that we consider billing those campaigns. Talked about this before. Money's tight. If somebody comes through here in a non-political event, we should provide service at whatever cost it is. They're taking in tens of millions of dollars every month, and I'm not sure it's appropriate for the taxpayers to subsidize anybody's campaign, and I would encourage the county to bill for all the costs related to that campaign. If it occurs.
I think have we done that before, Gary? I think that came up last presidential election, and we may have tried to, and I don't remember what the outcome of that was. Do you? Okay. Yeah, I know they are, and I know we did talk about that, but okay. Mr. Geary?
As a follow-up on that, why doesn't judiciary and law actually draft a resolution or an ordinance or a policy thing, and that's what will guide us for this election and maybe not, I agree with John on this election if they come in, but maybe we should get a ordinance or something drafted that'll just clean that up.
Ms. Burke, can you put that on your agenda for judiciary?
Sure.
Obviously, if it's an ordinance, it won't take place in time for this election, but I think it would be good to have a policy on that. So, one of the things that I would ask that you take into consideration is if there is a person already in office, how does that apply to them? Are they treated any differently if they're running for re-election, for example? It is one thing that we need to consider. Mr. O'Malley has an item.
Yes, back to the United Way. I was surprised, and usually I'm not without words, but just as a challenge, I will match each supervisor's contribution to the United Way up to $50.
Per person?
Per person.
Per payroll withdrawal?
Per year of supervisor pledge, I will match up to $50 if all supervisors do that. You do the math.
Thank you. That is very generous of you, Mr. O'Malley. Leanne Paff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if this belongs on the next agenda, if we can get it on or whatever, but this has to do, I'm on the Wildlife and Abatement Committee for La Crosse County, and this is dealing with the donated deer. What I did is this month, I'll explain why I was so late with it when I get done, but this month I sent to Sharon Hampson, our La Crosse County Health and Human Services Committee, and Steve Doyle and Jerry Huber, the following letter, and it, here's what it says. I write to you to request that the Committee on Human Services are seeking funds for the donated deer program. And under this highly successful program, local hunters, both gun and bow hunters, have the opportunity to donate their killed deer to a specified state-regulated processing plant. The plant, in turn, processes the deer and donates the venison to the local food pantries. In the past, each deer has provided approximately 43 pounds of ground venison for the needy people. Now, here's the gist of this story. The Wisconsin DNR assists in this program, providing funds to a state-certified meat processing plant. But what they donate, or what they give, is $50 reimbursement. And we only have one in the county last year that would do it for that. And is requesting more this year. And what we need is somehow to subsidize them. And what I asked for was here, I request that the committee, as it has done in the past, and what I mean by in the past was last year we donated $10. And I don't know there's a where exactly it came from, but it came from La Crosse County in one form or another, but they did donate $10 to each deer that was processed. If it came out of human services is where I thought it came from, but then Ms. Hampson disagrees with me there, what I'm asking for this year, because of higher costs all the way through, is $20. But as of today, I don't have any, and hunting season has started, and there's going to be more deer this year to go to the donated pantries because of the earn a buck system, and a lot of that is going on right now with the hunting season, or the bow hunting season, which started a week ago Saturday. So if there's any possible way that we could get some additional funds is really what I'm asking for. I thank the human services, if they were last year, or whoever it was, for the $10. This year we would like 20, or we would...
Sharon Hampson, can you put that on your agenda?
Actually, I'd like to correct Supervisor Paff. First off, he presented this to me the day of the Health and Human Services Board meeting, so legally I couldn't have added it to that. So Cheryl and I did some research, and we went back in minutes, and we did consider it Health and Human Services last year, but that was actually paid out of the general fund because it wasn't directly related to Health and Human Services. Even though there's the food pantry issue, it was decided that it would come out of general fund. So that's where it was paid from last year.
Did the resolution go through your committee? I'm trying to figure out who to ask to put it on their agenda.
It's not us. It should be the standing committee to which the wildlife abatement reports.
Which I assume would be executive committee. Gary?
I will do like Sharon did.
You don't have your mic.
Mic's not on here.
Let me work with Cheryl, look at the minutes from last year, see which committee it ran through, and then we will notify that committee chair accordingly.
Cheryl did go through all that, so she's got
okay.
a paper trail.
Sure.
But I think it was the wrong committee. I think it find out where wildlife abatement is supposed to go.
If there's no other place, it'll go on executive committee's agenda.
I would just like to Sharon is right there. And why I was late getting it to her is because the DNR did not make their decision until August 15th on what they was going to do, if they was going to do anything. And I was under the impression that they had given us the impression earlier in March that they may be raising it. So that's why it wasn't requested before.
Okay.
But this time there wasn't anything I could do about
that's
it.
That's fine.
Bring it later.
No problem. I don't want this to go on forever and ever. But congratulations, Mr. Meyer. According to our ordinance, it goes to Planning, Resource, and Development. So... You will have it on your agenda next month. Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. I just wanted to report that the Freedom Honor flight, which I handed out some literature on your desk here a couple months ago, is full, and they're departing October 8th. And that's going to be at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we already have a plane full, I believe, almost for another departure next June. So things have come along very well for that.
Good. Jill Billings.
Thank you. My question concerns financial support of the UWL Stadium project. At what point does the new county board decide to affirm or approve of the pledge that was made by the previous board? Would it be next month or January 2009?
No, it would be part of the budget debate. It's a line item in the budget, so during the budget process, each and every year, it wouldn't necessarily be a separate vote. Somebody could move to pull it out, or if you do nothing, it would be presumably in there, I assume. So, but it will be—it's part of the budget deliberation.
So it won't be pulled out in resolution form, or it's up to a supervisor to do that.
Right. You do not need a separate resolution. It can be done by way of a motion to amend the budget.
Thank you,
Joe Veenstra. Any other announcements or whatever, Don Bina?
I just have one, and I didn't know if I should or not, but I guess I will. The RCNDs from the state of Wisconsin are selling raffle tickets on two Packer tickets December 28th for the Packers Lions, $2 apiece, 3 for $5, and $75 gift certificate for Brett Favre Steakhouse. I should note that 3 years ago, I think Don Meyer won second or third prize, and he got $300. So winners do come to La Crosse County once in a while.
The Sheriff is not here to arrest Mr. Bina for soliciting within the administrative center. Again, that was very generous of Mr. O'Malley to match the pledges of board members on the United Way item, so I'd encourage you, please do that if you have not done so.
By October 1st, that's the deadline. Get it in.
Turn those in to Marion. All right. Jerry Sobranek.
If there are no further items for future agendas, I move to adjourn.
Moved to adjourn by Jerry Sobranek, second by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor, say aye.